Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, well, let's dive in, Jimmy, to some of the news here as part of part two of today's episode. Man, a plethora, is that the word I should use, information over the weekend.
Fire hose.
Just insane amount of stuff. George talking about Ryan Kendall, talking about Winds of Winter, talking about that we're getting an Arya Stark show that kind of ended the Jon Snow show. We could probably talk for 3 hours and we don't have that much time to talk about it today. So I think we'll start with this. I just want to say that this is how I feel. Jimmy, you know that I have been a staunch Winds of Winter supporter.
Believer.
Yeah. I kind of feel this is the first time I've really ever felt like, yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you.
The way he phrased talking about it. Now he did drop some news saying I was planning on killing Sansa, and then I rewrote it, and then I had to go to a Jon Snow chapter. And there's some people now are even more locked into it. But to me, saying he's like he definitely straight up confirmed his 1,100 pages again, which is more pages than any other book he's written, by the way. So who knows how much that needs to be, but the way he was talking about it and him saying like nobody's touching it if I die, to me in a way felt like a kind of a cop out to say, like, because it's almost like, well, you have a Game of Thrones, and if people view the ending of Game of Thrones bad, it almost leaves him in this position that people could always wonder, were the books better?
Yeah, his quote, I guess we'll read the quote. It says, if that happens, meaning if he's not able to finish, aka maybe he passes on, my work won't be finished. He says, it'll be like the mystery of Edwin Drood, he adds, referring to the Charles Dickens unfinished final novel. THR, the Hollywood Reporter, asked Martin how much further he has to go. Martin is vague. If I wound up doing everything that's in my head, this could be the longest book in the series. Supposedly, he's already there. Yeah, he's written 1,100 manuscript pages. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. So, but that's kind of what it felt like. I mean, obviously I'm still hopeful. I'm very hopeful that we get wins, and I still am, you know, we're obviously going to be speculating about what happens. Cause hey, there's some more info on that, right? That he dropped talking about this character and this character and what he might do. But yeah, man, I mean, to me, just the way he phrased it feels like, I mean, that's just where he's at right now. I am a little more focused on Duncan Egg. It also kind of confirms that he has been writing Duncan Egg.
Well, that was the other thing. I mean, he said, I've been working on 2 Duncan Egg novels and Fire and Blood 2. I will say, George said he wasn't going to work on any other like books in the universe until Winds is done. He also kind of follows it up. I think he knows. He just said, sometimes I just don't feel like writing Winds. Sometimes I want to write other stuff. And I don't have a problem with that. I know that's probably not a very popular take, but I will tell you, Matt, first off, me and Matt are not saying it's never going to be finished, therefore we're done. Cause that's generally how people go about it. They're like, screw it, I'm done with. That's not really for me. I'll read these books for the rest of my life, whether I have an ending or not. I don't really need a resolution to things. I wouldn't mind it, obviously, but I got to tell you, Matt, him basically confirming that Jon Snow is a POV and went to Winter was crazy.
Yeah, dude. Like, what do
you do? And the Sansa thing. And then he said the show has impacted him, which, thinking about it, that is almost inevitable no matter what. A lot of people were right, saying,
you can see your reaction to things.
Yeah. And the only thing I don't like is it kind of fuels the narrative like that was George's exact ending, which everyone says online. That's not true. We know the 3 points again. Whatever. I'm not going to go through this again. Right. And again. Yeah. Here's the thing. I hate him talking about the storylines and saying, you know, there's no way Tyrion's arc ends well and Sansa was going to die. Now she's not. To me, Matt, he's always been a bit hush hush, not all the time. For him to start saying these things, yeah, and then him to give up his Dunkin' Egg notes to Ira, I almost feel trying to come to peace. Though he did say he would feel like a failure if he didn't. He wants to finish, to be clear. I think he's still going to try to work on it.
He also talked about how he doesn't want to leave this Dunkin' Egg show in the same position that Game of Thrones have, which to me means maybe that's his focus now, is he's going to be writing Dunkin' Egg so that he can tell that story, which I'm fine with. Like,
whatever he wants to do.
If he said today, I'm not finishing the main series and I'm going to focus entirely on Dunkin' Egg, and he finishes it, then that's great. But like, just keep crafting your world, man. You don't like, you know, and maybe that puts you in a position where it makes writing wins easier over time. But it's like, if you're going to sit there and have wins be this enormous block that stops you from doing literally anything else, then dude, it's not worth it. I think
he's gotten past, because he said he's been working on it. I agree. Stuff. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think George is an artist. He can do whatever he wants. I want him to do whatever.
Well,
makes him
I want to pull this up too, because George also was very famously quoted in 2017 saying, "We're not doing Dunkin' Egg. Eventually, sure, I'd love to do, and so many of you would, but I've only written about 3 novellas to date, and there are at least 7 or 8 or 10 more that I want to write." So this is his 2017 quote, which ties into all this. We all know how slow I am and how fast a television show can move. I don't want to repeat what happened with Game of Thrones. Where the show gets ahead of the books, when the day comes that I finish telling all my tales of Dunkin' Egg, then we do a TV show about them, but that day is a long ways off. Well, that's 2017. Mm. Oh, sorry. A lot's happened since 2017. Game of Thrones season 8. The fallout of it. Kit Harington coming to him and saying, "Hey, I get this idea for a Jon Snow show." House of the Dragon not going the way you want. And now suddenly it's like, okay, well, different kind of story. And this may revitalize it. You know what I mean? It may revitalize him and get him more into being in Westeros. And that's the best thing about it, is at the end of the day, if this just gets him more into being into Westeros, because the one book I really kind of don't care about is Fire and Blood Part 2.
Out of all of them. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's only Fire actually, and Blood, but... right. But it's going to cover a lot of what's going to happen in Dunkin' Egg anyway, because it's about the Blackfyre rebellions and leading into that. And we already have World of Ice and Fire, so I have a framework. What we don't have is Dunkin' Egg. We have Game of Thrones, and then my guess is that I bet HBO even has Brian Cundell do the stuff, because they're like, we just want somebody who can do it. If Ryan Cundell's down to do it, not just like, I don't want anything to do with this, because I don't see any way that George is going to sign on to do that.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I don't see him signing on to do that at all. If anything, it actually might be the best motivator to finish the books, because then they're telling something that's so different that he can come back. All right, well, we really want to tell you to F off. Here's my ending.
Yeah.
What do you feel about any post, whether it's the Jon Snow show or Arya Stark?
Well, one of the things that came out of that interview when he was talking about Snow, it said George R. R. Martin has long resisted sequels to Game of Thrones because of the ending of his Song of Ice and Fire books will not align with the show, and he wants to avoid further canonizing the series' controversial conclusion. The Jon Snow show, he said, felt like the safest one. And remember whenever I said it was just going to be Jon living and it was going to be a real quiet show? Apparently, based on these notes, it was actually about Jon Snow dying, like slowly dying and being broken. which I thought was interesting because then they talk about how it kind of mirrors a lot of what Kit Harington was feeling at the end of Game of Thrones, where he's going through all those personal issues. Like, it actually reflected a lot of that time in his life. I thought that was kind of interesting, and maybe explains why Kit wanted to do it.
HBO said it was too depressing for them.
Yeah, man. Which is
like,
that's another level.
But that's sort of what we said it was anyway. Cause remember, he like went to rehab and then COVID hit. And
yeah,
again, we talked about this last week and talked about like Eternals, and it was maybe setting him up to become one of the next Marvel stars. And that totally flopped and people didn't like it. So, I mean, apparently the show he's in, but he said he wrote it with some of the Gunpowder people, and
good show. I like it.
Now, you know, he's in the industry that everyone says is really, everyone you talk to says is really good, but it's not a show that I hear a lot of people say, like, it's not a big enough show where I feel like I hear everyone saying, oh man, industry is amazing, you have to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's an HBO show. It's more, probably great.
Yeah, sure.
I'll get to it in 10 years. Sure. How I always do. Yeah. I always come late to these things, but Matt, to your point about like anything after, because now it seems like Arya might be the character that they end up running with. I don't have a problem with it because I can separate book canon and show canon without issue. George has said it in interviews when he sat down with History of Westeros. He talked about, you know, the books are the books and the show is the show. So to me, I don't necessarily think I'm the most hyped of all time for it, but I would try it out and see what it's like and then judge it accordingly. People who are just like dead on a ride, like they're just like, never, like, I don't know, why not? You know, it's an hour of your life.
I don't think there's any reason not to. It's not like, outside of, it seems like Sophie Turner is probably going to be the biggest star to come out of this whole thing. I mean, Peter
Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider.
I think she looks good. Some people, she's, I saw awesome. Some people saying they didn't like it. I don't know. I'm totally willing to see what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's not like anybody in Game of Thrones has really gone on to become like a mega star to where they wouldn't be able to come back. Like, Gwendolyn Christie has come out and said, I would love to come back. She said, you know, she would totally be willing to come back.
Yeah.
She might be the biggest. Is she the biggest star?
There's been a couple good ones. The guy that plays Jamie has had some success. I've also seen Lena Headey in a couple things. She's in a really good Netflix show. I can't remember the name of right now. That's getting a lot of love. I can't remember what it is. They've all done stuff. The guy that played Davos, it was in Three Body Problem along with Samwell Tarly. That was cool.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about people that have gone on. Like, none of them have gone on to become like a mega,
right?
You know, which happens. Yeah, like some people want to be big huge stars. But
I mean, they already huge stars. Right,
like they are yeah, but it's it's kind of different, like to where they just become like a mega movie star type
definitely not
mega. They're all in big shows. I mean, I would say Gwendolyn Christie's probably the biggest out of
Sandman was big, but it's done.
Well, she was in Sandman, she's in Succession, she was in Star Wars.
Oh, was she in Succession? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's in season two, bro.
Yeah, I remember her in Star Wars. That's right. That's
not cool. Succession, Severance.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, I was like, I didn't know she was in. I thought I would have heard
Severance.
That.
Sorry. She's
doing well. So whatever. I would do the sequels, but to get back to the point we kind of started on, Matt, I'm with you. I didn't feel good reading these things, not because he hasn't written any wins, but more so the stuff he's talking about just makes you feel like maybe he's kind of coming to terms. He wants to finish. He said that literally. He wants to finish. But maybe it's over, Matt. It might be over, dude.
Yeah. Who knows, man? I don't know. Who knows? I mean, we
just have to at the very least, I don't like it. I don't like hearing about characters' arcs before they're written or released. I don't want to hear any of this at all.
Yeah. And then the stuff where he's talking about him and Ryan Kendall, man, the whole thing. Ooh. And then like talk about how Miguel left. And so,
hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Assisted customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Like, we've always kind of been on, not necessarily the side of Ryan Kendall, but trying to at least understand, because we know all of the stuff that's happened with Warner Brothers, where they basically came in and said, hey, your budget's getting cut. That's and tough. Right. And it's so much bigger of a show to where there's, you're not going to get everything. There's just no movie studio, no TV show studio is going to let you do exactly everything you wanted. Now, should Game of Thrones had Lady Stoneheart and done the young Griff angle, you know, should some of that stuff happen? Maybe. But at the same time, if you didn't have the book spreading, maybe Dan and Dave, to give them some credit, were like, we might have to do this because we don't know what the rest of the story is. We don't know what George has told these people.
Yeah.
Like, is it vague bullet points? Is it, he's changing this. The problem is he's changing the story so much that, like, daily he says he is. So how can you have a movie studio that's spending like millions of dollars to build, you know, with all of these cast members and everything, you got commitments to all of these people. It's like, well, I don't know. George wants to do this and George wants to do that. Like, it, so I've always been somewhat on the side, maybe, of Ryan Kendall a little bit, to be like, they just said no. Maybe, like, I mean, he can say yes or no, but what's he supposed to do? Put his foot down and say, we're not doing it.
Yeah, he's at the whims of the producer. And we also said we don't know what happens behind closed doors. Like, there's some, maybe Kendall did something horrendous.
Maybe he's a dick. Like, maybe he is. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we don't know, but just from what you read and how you interpret both sides. I can see both sides.
Yeah, we're not, a lot of people are like boycotting House of Dragon over it. I'm just like, you know, this is a guy who gets, and George, you know, he's an artist, he's the author, I understand, but he gets mad about literally every change, like almost every single change. I know he's like some, but he, you know, he can be a little touchy about some stuff, which is fine. Right. He's an artist. That is what it is. We try to see both. The fact that Miguel and Ryan Kendall had some sort of dispute and basically Kendall was like, George, back me up. And then he did. I think George maybe felt played by that. That's the feeling you get, is like, right, maybe he regrets pushing Miguel out. I would love to know what that was. Like, I would love to know what that was.
Let's also not act like, it's not like every big producer and big writer and everything bats 100% of the time. Okay.
Yeah, no,
like,
not
even in, even in Star Wars, Dave Filoni, who seems like he's George Lucas's heir apparent, he's now going to be the head of Star Wars. I mean, Ahsoka was kind of mid, man. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, like, I mean, he doesn't bat 100. J.K. Rowling has never done, I mean, obviously, you know, she's batshit crazy on her political stuff, and it just like changes her story, the Harry Potter story, on the fly on Twitter every day. But I mean, the Fantastic Beasts movies, which she was a big part of writing, fucking suck. Like, they're awful. Like, I mean, they're some of the worst movies. The first one is pretty mid, and it just goes downhill from there.
Yeah, that's a failure for some of those sequels and spinoffs, right? Like, those have not worked out.
I would say legitimately they're worse than it's a Harry Potter prequel. It's worse than the Star Wars sequels. They're bad.
Damn. Okay, I've never watched them.
They suck, dude. I mean, they're really bad. Like,
things are imperfect. And actually, Ira Parker said, we tried to follow George. We told George we wouldn't do anything he didn't want us to do. We were imperfect making this show, but so is Dunk. And we know not everyone's going to like the show, but we hope that people can appreciate the effort. And that's all that's all you can really do. Of course, you're allowed to have your complaints and be loud about it or whatever. Though I did wonder, Matt, was that Ira Parker being like, we're imperfect because we ended up doing stuff George didn't want us to do? Like, I almost wonder, like, are we going to get a Ryan Kendall part two with Ira Parker?
Who knows?
Like,
that's what freaked me. I didn't even see that. You know, that quote went live like an hour before we hit record about the, about the poop scene. And it's like,
it definitely felt a little like, I don't know what they're doing over there. Like, dude, I can't handle this again. Please don't. I don't know. Yeah. Everyone has faults, and every piece of work is flawed in some manner, but I think that it, when it comes to Westeros TV, I think it's pretty exciting times. When it comes to specifically Wynn's and George releasing anything else, I think for the first time I'm feeling pessimistic about it. Like, agreed. Really, actually. And yeah. I'm not necessarily thinking that's a bad thing. I'm not mad at George R. R. Martin. I'm just not. And I don't think he owes us anything personally. So to me, it's just like, okay, he's starting to say things that I don't think he usually would have. And it's also things I don't care to hear. If we didn't do this podcast, I would have stopped reading the interview. I would have actually been like, I don't want to know, because I don't want to hear right. what character arcs did. I hate that.
Yeah, hate man. Yeah. I don't know. It's...
But there's no reason to be bummed, because right now we know we're doing a Night of the Seven Kingdoms and having an absolute blast.
Loved so. It. Loved episode. Yeah, awesome, loved episode one. So, all right. Well, it's exciting. Loved the show. The news times, was man. The news was hit or miss. I generally don't know how I feel about an Arya Stark show at all, just because
yeah.
I need to know more about. I mean, if it's gonna be, if you're gonna try and do young Griff, then okay.
Who knows
what are you going to try to resurrect Danny? What are you going to do? Are you going to, if the Arya Stark show, which is kind of what we thought the Jon Snow show was ultimately just saying, let's try to cap out the stories we missed from the books, which would be really, there's some you can't do anymore, like you can't do like a proper Clegane Bowl and the Faith and Howland Reed and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna, I would say like young Griff is kind of like the big one you'd have to do. Young Griff
would have been interesting for Jon Snow show, but you could, I don't think it works for Arya. It's like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, I mean, like it doesn't matter if it's an Arya focused show or if it's a Jon focused show, or like if season one hits and it's huge, then maybe season two is literally like Game of Thrones season nine. So it doesn't really matter what your entry point to it is, as long as it's good. And as long as it's doesn't just feel like a cash grab.
I'll be surprised if we hear anything about
it's going to be our show. I think it'll be a long time before we even see that show.
2-3 years. If we even see it, we know the things get put on the shelf very sporadically with really the entertainment industry and as a whole.
Yeah.
But the Aegon Conquest thing seems to be, you know, they're going to decide whether it's a movie or a show.
I think
I'd love to see a movie, honestly.
Well, I would say I could see it. Really depends on if Netflix buys Warner Brothers. If Netflix buys Warner Brothers, it's 1000% going to be a show, which now I'm like, you know, but I think it all just depends on who you get to do it. If you told me right now you could convince Dennis Villanueva to do it, I'm saying, bro, turn that into a trilogy. Let that man cook. And it would be freaking epic.
I mean, I would love that. I think he only does stuff that he's a personal fan of. I don't know if he's a fan of Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire.
Dune is like his favorite thing. And I feel like
he's also going to do Rendezvous with Rama, which is a legendary sci-fi. So,
well, maybe he could be into, I mean, how could you not be into Aegon's Conquest, dude? I mean, if you're into Dune and Paul Atreides, I mean, it's kind of pretty.
There's a lot there that could be really cool. Obviously, with his artistic lens, I think it'd be sick. But yeah. It's also, to be fair, like Aegon's Conquest is pretty straightforward. Like, they're going to have to add a lot of stuff to that. There's not a, even the conclusion, like, I don't know where you end it. Like, I don't know. Who knows? That's also a while down the road, too.
Right. You don't necessarily have to get him. There's a lot of people I would love to see that I would love to see do it. Like, man, Gareth Edwards, who did Rogue One.
Zack Snyder. I was going to say no.
No, man, I would love to see Zack Snyder do some concept art, though, because I bet it would just be a like really cool looking thing. Like, if you told me that he was not necessarily he was directing, although I don't have a problem with him as a director or writer. I mean, he's got his own style, and some people either really like it or they really don't. But obviously 300 was huge, so it just depends on the script, you know.
Yeah.
But that'd be really the only thing I'd want him to do in game in A Song of Ice and Fire. It's like Aegon's Conquest, I feel like, is like the thing. But he'd be adapting George's work. So do I trust him just as a filmmaker adapting someone else's work like he did with Sin City and like he did with 300? 100%. So I would be fine with it, but I could understand why a lot of people would not be.
Yeah, and adapting what we have, which isn't, honestly, it's not a lot. Like, there's going to have to be a ton. I mean, it's like House of the Dragon. Like, they're going to have to make a lot of decisions and fill a lot of air. So who knows? I think that's actually 4 or 5 years off, too, to be honest with you. It's going to take a lot of money. And everything, I think, after House of the Dragon season 4 and season 3 of Duncan Egg, because they're filming 2 and 3 right now with the hopes of releasing the next 3 years. I think everything after that is up for debate because, like you said, Netflix or whoever buys it.
Yeah.
Could be totally different. So,
yeah. Okay. All right, man. That was a lot. So,
fun, man.
Ooh, whirlwind. Loved episode 1 of Duncan Egg. It's just where I'm at.
And it's awesome.
Here we go with 2. I will say real quick here, they did release the titles. I have it saved here. Let me get it pulled up.
Oh, yeah. There's some interesting ones.
Did I have it saved on here? Did I have it saved? I think I had saved on Reddit. Let me pull it up here one moment. Sorry, one second here.
Yeah, you're good.
Reddit makes you freaking work for it. Okay, over here. Then you got it saved. Okay. So episode 2 is called Hard Salt Beef. Then you have episode 3, The Squire. Episode 4, Seven. Episode 5, In the Name of the Mother. Episode 6, The Morrow. So that to me tells me that the big conflict is going to be episode 5 and episode 6, maybe more epilogue.
Could be. And maybe I will say, I think that they need something to bridge into season 2.
Yeah.
Not crazy.
So do you have like the big action scene? Is that beginning of episode 6? You just go into it and then you have like half the episode be epilogue. I don't know which way you want to go to that. But it feels like to me episode 5 is the big action and then episode 6 is going to be all epilogue. So
yeah, there has to be the decision. Yeah. So
yeah,
there's definitely going to be some changes towards the end, probably just to make it a little bit tidier.
I think next episode there'll be a little action because we'll see a little jousting and stuff. We'll see some of the tourney really getting started. So
yeah.
All right. With that, guys, as always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week for episode 2 of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. And with that, remember that winter is coming.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.